Should we pray? Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are the head of this church and that we're following you and we love you. And we are your bride and your body. And I pray, Lord, that even as we spend time in your word, I pray even just as I share what I feel like you've put on my heart, that it would be your spirit speaking and blowing life and wind into us, Lord God, your life ultimately, Lord God. And I pray that whatever is not of me would just fall off, Lord, but yet your spirit would minister to people and would cut to the heart. And that we would see you ultimately tonight, Lord Jesus, that we would behold you and transformed by your image and your love towards us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Yo, it's lucky to be back. Amen. And I have to be careful tonight to fall into the trap of telling too many stories and telling you guys where we've been and what we've done. And because I really do feel the Lord wants to, he wants to speak to you guys tonight. And I want to kind of get out the way. But I think there might be one or two of the stories and things that have happened to us along the way that might help paint that picture. And really just tell that story as we dive into the Word together tonight. So it's good. It's good to be home. It really is. And so if you're wondering where we have been, we've been on holiday for 3 months. And for the last month of those 3 months, we've had the privilege of being in America. It's been an incredible time. We ended our time last week. We were actually with Andrew. You guys know Andrew. For those of you who've been around for a while, Andrew planted Josh, started Josh Gen. We were with them in the church in San Clemente in California. We received training. We had an intensive time of training from Monday pretty much right through to Friday. And it was absolutely incredible. We were there with many other leaders from around the Partnership of Churches, the 412 Partnership of Churches, guys from the Netherlands and Australia and South Africa and Brazil and Ronaldo. You guys remember Ronaldo? Ronaldo was there. It was really cool to see him and their family, and many others as well. Jonathan from Isle of Man shared a couple of the sessions, and Andrew did most of the teaching. But it really was just a time of helping us learn how to see churches transition into health and align them with the Word and how to do that. And I do feel like we were super blessed in that time. We actually got hosted by a family that is initially from Cape Town, Clint and Lawrence Clark. I don't know if you know any of them or any of you guys know them. They're an incredible couple. The crazy thing is I didn't know Clint going there, even though he was in the City Bowl congregation for years and came on an eldership in Cape Town and felt the Lord call him over to be part of what God was doing there. His wife is an American. Lawrence, she's got an American passport, so she can go. And it's been hard ground for them. It's been hard work. You know, we think, you know, you go to the land of plenty, you know, the America. It's not like that, guys. We got it good. We've got it good. Yes, their stuff works. But it's expensive. My goodness, yeah, at least they've got electricity, yeah. But it is inexpensive, and the culture's different. The American culture is so different. Like, We're very fortunate. We're very fortunate in our lives, the openness, our vulnerability, what we've cultivated and seen cultivated in the kingdom. And they face many different challenges, ones that we'd be oblivious of. We take very, very for granted. So it was cool to see that and get context and really get to understand it. Anyway, I stayed with this couple, and we stayed with them for the week and fell in love with them. Like, really became such good friends with him. I said to Clint, I said, I think if you know, if I'd known you in Cape Town, we would have been friends. We became really good friends. But just the beauty of staying together in people's homes, seeing their lives, hearts being knitted, and really God adding us as family together, which was an incredible, really, really incredible time. They got this cutest little guy, a little boy. His name's Kel. He's like 2 years old. He's like the church mascot. He's cute. Anyway, enough about them. But in our journeys, in our travels, we had the privilege of seeing some incredibly beautiful things and scenery. We had the privilege of seeing my brother up north in Seattle, and we jumped in a rental car and we did a road trip all the way down, pretty much the length of America, to get to this conference time. And staying in Philip, if anybody's seen Philip's little green two-man tent, you know that one. Justin stayed in it at the last church camp. Me and Margo lived in that little church, did that little tent for pretty much for 2 weeks out the back of our car, cooking out of a little gas stove, you know, putting stuff in bear lockers so bears don't like steal your food. And we had this adventure of a lifetime. It really was incredible. We had the privilege of seeing some of the most beautiful things I think I've ever seen. Like, we started right up the north. We came down. And the reason I'm telling you this is because this is part of actually what I feel the Lord has laid on my heart. And I'll get to that now. But we saw this place called Hurricane Ridge and a place called the Ho Rainforest. We came a little bit down and we went to a place called California Redwood National Park. And I don't know if any of you know, the Californian Redwoods are the biggest or the tallest trees in the world. And ever since I've been a little boy, I've always, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I always want to see the biggest or the best or the something, you know? You know that? Can you relate? So I've always wanted to see the biggest trees in the world, you know? And, you know, on the way to Nasna, there's this, you know, the big tree. Oh my goodness, that's like a twig compared to what the big trees are. Like, it's nothing. Anyway, so we had the privilege of being able to go and see these trees. Oh my goodness me. Like, you've never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like it. And I'll come back to that in a moment. Then we carried on a little bit down and went to a place where, which is called the Sequoia National Park, which is the biggest trees in the world. So these are the tallest. California redwoods are the tallest trees in the world. The sequoias are known to be the biggest trees in the world. They are of the same family. And there's a tree there called General Sherman. It's known to be the biggest tree in the world. And it is absolutely massive. Like, I cannot describe to you. There's no words. I can't put it into words to describe to you what this is like. You have to see it to experience it. And we got to see this, right? Then we moved on from there and we got to this place called Yosemite National Park. Any of you heard of this place? You know, see that? There's that movie, Free Solo, that guy, that nutter that climbs that rock face. Any of you guys do rock climbing? No one does rock climbing. Has anybody watched the movie? Okay. Huh? Dawn Wall. Anybody seen the Dawn Wall? So it's a rock climbing movie. But anyway, guys, this like cliff face that these guys get, it's the most beautiful scenery in the world. We saw these waterfalls that are so loud, you cannot hear this person speaking next to you. And we got to see all of this. And in this, I began to feel the Lord speaking to me. And I want to maybe jump in to the scripture in Romans 1, verses 19 to 20. It says this: they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing him. That is an awesome scripture. And when people asked me what this experience was like, it was a privilege, but there's a word to explain it, and it's spiritual. It sounds a little bit weird, but it was a spiritual experience. And like, how is that? And I think this is why. Because this scripture says they have known from it, they can see it. His creation cries out his praise and his glory. How can you not know that there is a God? And I just felt in those moments of just walking through this absolute beauty, I just felt how near he was, just the majesty of him. It was just like he was whispering in my ear, I made all of this, Ross. I created this for you. Just look. It's worshiping me, but you get to enjoy it. I mean, guys, you look up at those trees. You cannot see the top of them. You're looking and you're looking and you're looking, and it's just like, where's the top of this thing? It's absolutely 114 meters tall. I mean, it's longer than a rugby field. You see these blue gum trees out here? That's like four times the height of them, like the biggest one you can find. I mean, it's nuts. And that's all just worshiping God. All just being created for him, right? And I hope tonight that as I share, a few things might happen. I'm hoping we will learn more about the nature of God and His qualities. I'm hoping we will see how this impacts us and become more rooted in Him. I'm hoping that your gaze will be captured by Him and His beauty. And I'm hoping ultimately at the end of this evening that His name will be glorified above all else. Above all else. So, I have to entitle this, and what are we going to call it? We're going to call it Inseparable Love. An inseparable love. And who brought that? Was it Aaron that brought that word? Just about there being a what's the word? Oasis, thank you. Sorry, I went blank for a second. An oasis of God's love for us to come and drink from. And I feel like God wants to reveal that tonight, actually. He wants to show us how incredible His love is towards us. You know, often when we preach in church, a lot of the time we talk about this, what we got to do, how do we love Jesus, how do we reflect Him well, how do we do all those things. But sometimes I think God just wants to tell us how much He loves us. Because ultimately it's His love that transforms us. It's ultimately when we behold Him that we're changed into His image. And I feel like that is one of the things that He wants to do in us tonight. So who is God? What is His divine nature and these invisible qualities that Paul is speaking about in Romans? What are they? So maybe one, if you're taking notes, you can start with the first one. He is eternal and unchanging. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures to back that. Revelations 22 verse 13, you want to put that one in the NIV? NIV. You don't have the NIV. Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm gonna read it here. Well, it should be the same. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's eternal, the first. I am the Alpha. Where's my tattoo? Don't get tattoos, guys. Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. That's who He is. It's a whole other story. If you've got a problem with tattoos, come talk to me afterwards. I don't think you should get one. Don't think it's sin, but just, yeah. Anyway, side note. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, God is at the beginning and at the end. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is Jesus, and Jesus is God. James 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like a shifting shadow. God does not change. Jesus does not change. And He was there at the beginning, and He will be there at the end. And He's there for everything in between. Our God is eternal and He's unchanging. The second one point, what He is. He's gracious and He's merciful. And these are, like, you could spend a whole week just on preaching on the grace and the mercy of God alone. I'm giving you kind of headlines here, but we've got to see the attributes and the nature of God to begin to understand what I'm talking about. Psalm 145, verses 8 to 9 says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. Cool scriptures, eh? These truths, do we meditate on these truths? Do we hang on them? Do we spend time? Actually, this is the God that we serve. This is the most cross-referenced and quoted scripture in the Old Testament I'm about to read to you in Exodus 35, verses 6 to 7. And it is describing the Lord and His character. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I'm slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of parents upon their children and their grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children to the third and fourth generation. You see, God is just. And without God's justice, he can't actually be merciful. So he's just and he's merciful, right? So this scripture shows us a comparison. It's comparing who God actually is within his own nature and his own character. I lavish unfailing love to the thousandth generation. God's mercies are new every day, his word says. This is the God we serve. The third aspect of his nature is 1 John 4, verse 16. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God in him. God is love. And we all know the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, love is good. You know, every wedding we hear that scripture, right? Have you ever thought of this? I want you to take out the word love and replace it with God. Because if God is love, who he is, this is his nature. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. He does not boast. He's not proud. And we see this in the humility of Jesus. God does not dishonor others. God is not selfish. God is slow to anger. He removes our sin as far away as the east is from the west. God does not delight in evil. God is always reaching out, and his love is always towards us. It's powerful, eh? These are scriptures that if we just sit in scripture and meditate on the truths and allow it to actually sink into us, these things will become the foundation that we actually begin to live life from. And what God does that shows us this, right? So we see who God is. We see the attributes of God. We see his nature and his kindness. But what does he do that proves who he is to us? We were singing about it just now. First of all, God creates us in his image. And he creates us for fellowship with him and to love him and to love us. We know that? Genesis 21, verses 26 to 27, said God created us in his image. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish in the sea. This is the fundamental basis of our relationship with God, that God created us in his image. He created us to love us and for us to love him. And then how does he make that possible? How does he make that possible? Because after what happened in the garden, it's impossible. He sends his son. And we were singing about that earlier. He paid the greatest cost, that high price. We all know John 3:16, which is the most quoted scripture in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. So here is him showing us how much he loves us. The highest possible price that any you could ever imagine to pay, God pays, that's how much he loves us. We don't understand that. We don't get that. Now, having this as our foundation, this is kind of a long intro, sorry. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach too long tonight. But having this as our foundation, I want to have a look at a scripture in Romans 8:31 to 39. So let's read from 35. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us when we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger and threatened with death? As scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. I'm convinced nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, angels or demons, neither fears or today or worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky or on the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now we know what it looks like. We know the nature of God, his character. We know how he loved us. And now we know, we begin to look at the scripture through that. So when trouble comes your way, does that mean God doesn't love you? Sometimes feels like that, eh? when calamity happens or persecution comes, when we're hungry. It says, I mean, these are the words I'm using out of that scripture. Hunger. You're hungry. You know, there's not food on the table. It's like, God, why have you forsaken me? Like, what's happening? Everything seems like it's going wrong. Destitute. In danger. Even threatened with death. Does that mean that God doesn't love you? Does it feel like? I mean, it does feel like it sometimes. Or is it only me? You know, you can feel really like everything's coming against me. Like, God, do you even love me? Like, why? What is this? Why am I experiencing all of this? It's because we're looking at it through a different lens. We're looking at it through our lens. We're looking through a human lens, one that doesn't have any context. When we read the scripture, God uses all things to the good of those that love him. Like, how's it even possible? Through our minds, through our eyes, from our position, it doesn't seem possible. But when you look at it through God's perspective, things begin to change, right? And I want to maybe show you this picture to explain how context works. In the story that I've told you guys about what little adventures that we've had, and the redwood and the sequoias, I want to maybe put up the first picture there quickly. You see that picture? It's a tree. I mean, it looks like a big tree, but it's a tree, right? Can you all see that's a tree? It looks like quite a big tree, right? You don't know how big, though. I mean, you with me? Could be a tree outside that I've just kind of stepped up close and kind of taken. You want to give us the next one? Okay. That's the same tree. A little bit different, right? A little bit different context. The picture of me there just gives that tree a little bit of context, right? You want to do the next one? Same tree. So now you're getting a little bit of the height. Tree's 84 meters tall. It's not the highest tree in the world, but it's the biggest. It's got the most volume. See that picture? Now, there's a bit of a mind warp. See where I'm standing? That all that gray, what you call it, paved area that I'm standing on? You see that me in the top, like right hand, right top right there? See that gray paved area? That's the thickness of that tree. Doesn't look that thick when you look at it through those photos. Go back. I mean, it's thick, it's big, but when you begin to see context, context is everything, right? So just looking at it as it is, it's not all that impressive. Let's go to the next one. Go to photo 5. Check those. Those are big trees. I mean, it looks cool. I mean, you can't even see the top. Check at that. You can't see the top of that tree. I promise you. Like, you're walking through the next day, your neck's stiff because you're just walking like this. Look at that thing. Look at that. Imagine it took Margot away from that photo. You wouldn't even, it would just, it's bigger. Context. Everything. Now, how's this? I love this scripture. Paul praises the scripture in Ephesians. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep the love of Christ is. And I, walking amongst those trees, looking up, you can't see the top of them. It's like God's love. You can't see the end of it. You can't see. There's no... And to us, when we look at it without context, it's just love. But when you put us into this context, it becomes overwhelming. It becomes huge. And that's how much he loves us. Like, it's pretty profound when you really spend time just meditating on God's love for us. I want to maybe just, there's another photo. Just show that other photo. No, not that one. That, I mean, that's pretty. It's a really pretty photo. But when you, to go to the next photo. But when you add us to it, it changes something in that photo. It gives a context, gives a perspective. And that's so loud, you can't even hear each other speak to each other. It's just like, that's how much God loves us. And much more. Okay, thanks, Caleb. And this picture that, this prayer that Paul prays over the Ephesian church in Ephesians. And I pray that you're being rooted and established in his love. It's his love and understanding his love towards us that transforms us and changes us. May have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is for us. And I maybe just want to take a second. I'm not going to preach. That's pretty much it. I just want to take us, for us to just take a moment. Can we do that for a second? Maybe we can all just close our eyes where we are. There's a scripture in Romans 12. It says, in view of his kindness and his mercy towards us, we pour out our lives as a living sacrifice to him. And maybe you right now, in where you, what you're going through in life, it feels like you can't imagine that God loves you. You can't see the tops of those trees. You can't see what's in front of you. But God, the truth is, in his nature and his character of who he is, that he loves you. And he's actually calling you towards him. He's wanting you to see this love. He's wanting you to understand and to receive it. And when you do, that love is what transforms you. It's the hope. And maybe you're facing things in your life right now. You don't know when they're going to come to an end. Maybe that canyon's so deep or that waterfall is so loud. The tree's so high, you just can't see the top of it. But God's saying, you know what? The truth is, when you're rooted in my love, nothing can separate you from my love. Nothing. I want to show you how deep and how wide and aha, my love is for you.